welcome to the first Max Football podcast of the 25-26 season. As always, I'm joined by two of Max Sports Journalism's finest. On my left, a man that's footballing pedigree was once compared to Ledley King, Dave Norton.
Hi everyone, that's the highest praise I've ever received.
There's more to come. Well, on my right, we have former St John's wunderkind, Tom Kerfey.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Yeah, gentlemen, hello. It's been a while. We should apologise first off. I think our last podcast was about a year ago.
Well, they say absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Well, Guinness had a whole marketing campaign around it, so...
And obviously nothing insignificant's happened in Max Football since then.
If I remember correctly, the last podcast we did was the Canadians, remember, which were the cult heroes of on the Barclaysman, which I actually listened to it the other day. It was quite a good podcast. Dave went on holiday.
And that just killed there and everything.
That actually killed the podcast.
Where did you go, Dave?
I went to Liverpool and Mallorca.
Oh.
In fact, that Liverpool v West Ham game in the cup was one of the linesmen was Paul Hodgkinson, our ex RDM over here. So it was a working holiday, of course.
So just to think, if you hadn't gone on holiday, we could have been piercing ears.
Yeah,
for years and years.
We wouldn't be getting barbed comments from Big G Julie down at St Mary's. Hello, if you're listening, G. I can't quote it because it was quite rude, but he said just to paraphrase, it's been a bit of a shambles the last 2 years. And agree. Well, so this year we're back. Thanks very kindly to the support of Jerry McGinn, Painters and Decorators. They've got us back on the road. We're going to slightly tweak the format. We're going to be coming in your ears maybe once a month. That's the plan.
Yeah.
You're right at the top.
Yeah, we're good.
We're going to have maybe a slightly longer episode format. We're going to, of course, all the favourites will still be there, much to Dave's chagrin. Dave can't be corners back, isn't it?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Is it still a corner, or does it need making bigger?
I'm round myself, but I'm also on the corner of the desk, so whatever shape you want to throw at it. But I'm just disappointed that Adam Morton's not here to do it.
Well, he's very busy at the moment. He has said he might join in the future. I think we've done over 100 podcasts now, Dave. You know, I think it's nearly 10 years, isn't it?
2016 was the first, October 2016.
Stewie Neem, the first. Shout out to Stewie if he's listening. I hope he isn't, because he works at the Emergency Train Control Service at the moment. So, you know, you're probably busy elsewhere. But if you are, shout out to you. But, it's nearly 10 years. One of my favourite episodes was the Station Fields episode.
Oh, remember that? Good, yeah.
When something pooed on the
beach. Yes.
I don't know. Was that ever solved, that mystery?
I don't know. I don't think it was. But my favourite one is also with Adam Morton. But do you remember his random hatred for gyms? So any gyms fans tuning in right now are buzzing to see Adam Morton.
Yeah, so there's no Adam Morton. We will get him back. We will convince him. He is busy this afternoon, so he has got a legitimate reason. But we will get him back at some point. Dave reads the weather is back, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah, well, what can I say? You can't mess with a masterpiece game.
When you go on tour, when bands go on tour, you know, the big names, they don't not play the favourites, do they?
Exactly.
Everyone wants to hear the classics, don't they?
My dulcet tones.
So, but I have to say, as we've alluded to, the podcast is going to be a bit more periodical, probably once a month, something like that.
We're being realistic.
We want to make it as good as we can do. Yeah. So the weather... Well, you're not going to go too far ahead, are you?
No, literally this weekend, and that's your lot. Do we really trust the forecast that's longer than like 3 or 5 days?
So. Well, I trust everything you say.
Well,
I trust Colin Gorshaw.
Colin. Yeah. Hashtag. Look ahead. That's at the end of the podcast. We've got loads to come before that. There's lots happened in our absence. You know, it has been 12 months. You know, the last few weeks in itself have been busy. The new season sprang into life a couple of weeks ago, Dave.
It has. Plenty of drama already, some big results, plenty of goals. So I think it's shaping up to be a nice little season, except if you're a Moran fan.
I'm confident.
We'll look ahead. You're always confident.
We won the league last year, if I were there for my predictions.
We'll look ahead to what's happening this weekend in a few minutes. But before that, I just want to have a quick chat about FC Alman. Now, it's not been the greatest start to the season, Dave, has it?
No, it hasn't. But, you know, there are caveats to that. They've lost a lot of their big players, so to speak, in the off-season. There's a lot of youngsters. So it's very much building for the future at the moment, isn't it?
Probably the headlines are the bottom of the league.
Yes.
Won one game.
Lost eight,
drawn the other. One of those defeats was against Cheadle Town on Tuesday, just gone. There's a fantastic interview former podcast favourite Sam Turton did with Sam Baines and Dean Pinnington after the game. We'll link into that a bit later, but yes, I think the main point of the interview, as you'll hear in a minute, is they're just saying they want the Allemans to get behind them. Yeah. They need the France support. So we'll have a listen, quick listen to that now.
Lads, a difficult result tonight, but much improved performance in the second half.
Yeah, the second half was much better, but as after a few words in the changing room, all the lads know it wasn't. First half was nowhere near good enough, just like the last few weeks haven't been good enough, and I'm sure everyone at home knows that as well. But I think in the second half we actually finally got together as a team and fought for each other for the first time in a while. It's a new group and everything like that, and I just think everyone outside of FC, inside of FC, we just need to stop. Like, we need to stick together, management included. Everyone's wanting to point the finger, this, that, and the other. On my behalf, I'll take responsibility for not winning and not scoring goals. I'm not scoring enough. I'm not getting enough assists. That's my responsibility. And I'm sure Beansy will have his own. All the players have put 100% commitment into this, and the negativity, things like that. For me personally, it doesn't bother me in the slightest. I don't care. And to be honest, it riles me up. I sort of like it, but I just think everyone should get behind us because we're representing the Allemans, so everyone should be getting behind us, and we want to go and win. We want to get 3 points for yous and for us. That's just all I have to say about the whole thing, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree. First half was nowhere near good enough. Sloppy goals like last week. But then second half, as Penny said, we did fight well. And as a group, which was what we need to do more of. And I think as a club and as an island and a community, we need to fight more of. There needs to be more positivity about it, because we're putting in so much time and commitment. Everyone in the club, there's so many volunteers. And you've got to remember, none of us are getting paid. We're all trying. And you just need to get behind us. We're trying our best. On Saturday, we'll be at home, get down to the game, and we'll try and get you a win. We are trying, and we're together as a group. Management, team, staff, volunteers, everything. We're together as a group.
Great interview, that. Very passionate from Dino. And
you can see just how much it means to the players, can't you, in that? And I think they're totally right. They just need support at this point. It's easy to point fingers, but, you know, just get behind the team.
There has been a lot of finger pointing as well, I've noticed.
On social media,
it's gone
quite toxic, hasn't it?
It has, which is, I was a bit shocked by that.
And I think Sam mentioned in the interview, one of the keys, like, they're all doing this for free.
Yeah, exactly.
Taking a lot of time out of their own calendars to train and travel. Yeah. But yeah, I think, again, as I say, they just want everyone to get behind them, and you can do on Saturday evening. They're at home to everyone's favourite service station, Charnock Richard, at the bowl on Saturday evening. That's a 6 o'clock kickoff, as always. I'm sure they would definitely appreciate the support.
I wonder if any of their supporters listening would like to be called a service station rather than.
No, Charnock Richard's great.
Is that actually what it means?
No, it's no tea, mate. It's good. Sorry, Richard's up there. Yeah.
All the service stations are available.
Yeah. Right, we've also, aside from the FC Allemans, lads, we've been keeping a beady eye on some of the island's footballers on the adjacent isles. We'll kick off with Dave, with podcast favourite. One of the early ones, wasn't he, I think? Was he season two?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah.
One of the greatest hits, Adam Long, a Rolls Royce of a defender for Union Mills and St George's. He signed for Coleraine in the Northern Irish outfit, Coleraine, in the close season. Made his debut recently.
Couldn't have gone much better, really, could it? He was only on the pitch for about a minute and he scored.
Yep. And they're having a great start to the season. They're undefeated and they currently sit second in the Sports Direct Premiership standings.
That's a catchy name.
If my information is correct. Also among the goals at the weekend, Tom, is a guy you spoke to in one of our short-lived episodes last season, Freddie O'Donoghue, former Peel superstar.
Yeah, he's doing well, isn't he?
Yeah, so he is currently enjoying, very much so, a loan spell with Queen of the South, one of the best-named football clubs in Britain, I would say, from parent club Carlisle United. He was on the score sheet on Saturday as the Dunhamers, apologise any Queens fans that are listening, beat Rangers second string in the Challenge Cup on Saturday.
But he's permanently at Carlisle still, am I right?
Yes, he signed a new deal, didn't he?
Of course, I did a story on that. But then one of the things that stood out for me when we spoke to Freddie was how much it meant to him, like how Peel Football Club, how influential that was to get where he is now.
Yeah.
I think like so many players you see, especially who make it, they get so far and they praise the ones when they get to these serious clubs, where I think Freddie rattled off a fair few names of people just involved in Peel that have been like essential to him getting where he is, which I think is really good as well. It's a massive praise on the other man, that in general. Yeah, I think want to have something like that.
I think I looked the other day, I think he played 5 first team games and scored 2 before he signed for Carlisle.
So it's not bad.
Good return for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, anyway, thanks to the media team at Queen of South, we've got an interview now with Creddy, and here's what he has to say after he scored the 76th minute winner on Saturday.
Freddie, what's your thoughts after the game today?
We probably made it a bit too tough for ourselves, but ultimately, like, we won, so yeah, mixed emotions really.
It was a bit of a strange game, wasn't it? It kind of had that friendly feel about it.
Yeah, it's one of them where, you know, you need to approach every game the same, whether it's cup, league, but yeah, probably on our part we started a bit slow and, you know, maybe got dragged into that mentality.
Was there a difference in that? Did you feel as a player, obviously you were on the bench to start with, but in the first half that there was a different mentality from a league game?
I don't know, it's tough to say watching from the bench when you're not really on the pitch, you know, but yeah, it's tough to say. Like I said, you know, we should approach every game the same way. I think that's what the gaffer told us before the game, and yeah, that's just my thoughts really.
Was it a difference then, and like when you learn from these kind of games, because Rangers be unknown to anybody really, so do you learn from it?
Yeah, of course you learn from every game you play really, but like you say, they were unknown, and like I said before, it's important to approach it the same way as you'd approach, you know, a team that you've played five times and you know exactly what they're about.
Obviously you came off the bench at half time,
yeah,
and things changed in that second half and you played your part with a goal.
Yeah, obviously as a forward, yeah, you want to get off the mark as quickly as possible. I've had me time to settle in now, so hopefully that's the first of many.
How are you finding it?
Good, yeah. I enjoy it. All the players have been brilliant with me since I've come in. The gaffer and the staff, they've all been excellent, to be fair. So, yeah, helped me settle in. And now I think it's just time for me to personally try and kick on as much as I can.
Try and get as much game time.
Yeah, that's it. That's the whole point of the loan. You know, try and, you know, turn me under a different league and, you know, men's football. So it's new. It's quite new to me as well. So I'm starting to settle, I think. And, yeah, hopefully just get as much as possible.
Obviously, you're talking there about men's football, so that probably is a different level from what you're used to at Carlisle.
Yeah, like, at Carlisle, I've been in and around, like, the first team, and, you know, I've played a bit, but, you know, you want to be every week in training with a team, you know what, you're all aiming for the same thing, and then on a Saturday or Tuesday, you know, you're playing against men, and, you know, you're playing for 3 points, and it ultimately means more.
Top of the league going into the next league game against East Fife, so somewhere that you aim to stay.
Yeah, of course, all the lads, we know what we want to achieve this year, and staying up there is, you know, obviously the most important part for us, so hopefully, yeah, 3 points.
Did you know much about Scottish football before you came?
Yeah, I knew a bit. I spent a bit of time at Dundee as a kid, so I knew faces, and I sort of knew what it was about, but like I said, I'm really enjoying it.
Be the Manx Football Podcast without some Manx football lads, and I'm delighted to say our first look at the games taking place this weekend on Saturday. Now, there's an absolutely massive game in the Carlisle Premier League on Saturday, taking place at Douglas Road, where current champions Peel take on everyone's probably title favourites, Corinthians. Dave, this one should be an absolute beaut.
It should be. Corinthians are absolutely flying. I mean, they've obviously welcomed back some FC Almanstars. They've got Sean Doyle, Luke Murray, Dan Simpson, and they really have hit the ground running. Goals galore.
One of the goals against Foxtel, that goal has been circulating online. Yeah. I think, did Corinthians post it up front foot?
Yeah, both of them, I think, yeah.
But it was just that the way they played. Like, I know Foxtel had a tough time, but they've had a really tough start to the season. But just, I think generally you can score that. Like, if you play like that every week,
one touch football back from their own area.
I think if you showed someone that and told them it was Manx football, they wouldn't believe you.
Yeah,
that's how that goal was. So.
But yeah, check it out. It is a cracking goal.
Yeah,
it's I know, not to coin a hatty phrase, but it is one of the goal of the season contenders already. Mm. So yeah, fantastic form for Corinthians. Peel, they've not had the best of starts this season, but they've also had a tougher start to the season than Corinthians. And they lost in the Old Firm derby to Rushen last week. So they'll be keen to bounce back from that, get back to winning ways. So
can I go as far as to say that I think it's a must win for Peel?
Oof!
I genuinely think...
Are you bringing the must win?
Yeah, Adam did it last year, I remember, and Adam got a fair bit of flack for it, so I don't want to.
Didn't he declare Laxey champions in the October?
Thank God they didn't win it. Yeah. But Peel, I think, after losing to Russian last week, which I think was a shock result, they got a point at Ayr, against Ayr as well, which are games that I think at the start of the season everyone had their favourites, and it was between Peel and Corinthians, couldn't sign everyone in. I personally didn't think Ayr would be up there as close up there or as tight as it would be. Yeah. And I think Peel, if they were to lose this game, which is very realistic because Corinthians are flying, I think it's a long way back to get, because I can't see Corinthians dropping many points. Well, I can't see Ayr dropping many points. I can't see Russian dropping many points.
Are you saying it's harking back to the old days where, say, when Geordies were winning, you couldn't really afford any defeats?
Yeah, that's what I generally think you could go with this Corinthians team, with the amount of, like, it's not just the 11 they've got on the pitch, Corinthians, that scare me. I think they can probably rotate every week and have players, you know.
Well, they've got a strong copy size.
This is the thing. Yeah. It's like that club seems to just find these kids that immediately know how to play in the system. And that, in fairness, is credit to the coaching staff there, isn't it? Because I think that, am I right in saying that the Combi play the exact same way as the first team and some of the youth do as well?
I believe so.
They try and play that all the way up. Which, in fairness, that if that works, which it clearly is for Corinthians, then yeah, fair play.
As you both know, I love stats.
Yep.
And me and Dave, you might have noticed we've gone a bit pro this year. For those of you watching on our YouTube channel, thanks to the 66 subscribers, we have our laptops out. So me and Dave have both got full time with the Canada Life Premier League, as we've been discussing that now. Tom's just got a blank screen.
Yeah. Well, I'm just new with an origin here, so yeah. I don't need the stats.
But anyway, the stats I was going to point out is that Corinthians have played 3 games and scored 24 goals.
See, that, if you're not scared about that, if you're in a Division 1 team, you're a centre-half, and you're looking at that front 3, front 4, it could be even a front 5, I feel like that attacking options they've got, you wouldn't want to mark any of them.
No.
So,
but you, all through your team, like we talk, as Dave earlier in the episode said, that the FC element, they got the band back together, isn't
that's
not just Sean. You know, Luke's back after a spell.
Seems to be really enjoying his football again.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's great to see him playing, to be fair. Who else? Ryan Burns is back. Ronan's back. You know, who else am I missing?
Dan Simpson.
Yeah. Q is back. You know, after a run out for FC Lamont. So they're in goal, Matt Quirk. You know, they're strong across the board. We talk about defensively, attacking, but across the whole 11,
it's incredible.
And beyond, as I say.
Us diving straight into Peel Corinthians is like, it's a mental, because that's like, they're the two, aren't they? I think all summer, if you speak to anyone about Division 1 this year, looking forward to the season, I think everyone was speaking about Peel and Corinthians.
Yeah.
You know what I remember watching? Sky Sports, I'm not sure if you remember this, but Sky Sports used to do like a phrase for each club at the start of the season. Mm. And like, I think Corinthians' phrase is bang back together, and then like maybe Peel's is like go again, or something like that, because they always think. So I think like if you were watching Sky Sports on a Super Sunday, and you want any Manx football 2 games on it, you'd want these two teams playing, when you're the best of the best playing against each other. And I don't know, Peel be desperate to win it. The fact that it's at home as well, I think, in front of a home crowd at Peel.
Yeah, the shed's going to be lively, I think.
It will be, yeah. Some choice words.
Yeah,
there's any former players playing for...
Dan Simpson used to play for,
yeah, of course.
For Peel, obviously.
I can't think of any more on the top of my head. But Peel have got a bit more of a defensive line. Sam Kennick's back in as well.
Yeah, and then we've not talked about Peel's summer signings. Obviously, it was the first episode we've done.
They raided Foxdale.
Yeah. Foxdale, arguably their two best players last season.
Yeah, it's like
Lee Gale and...
I'm mixed with this one, because it's like great for Peel, obviously, but it's obviously horrible for Foxdale, who are obviously going to have one of those seasons, a tough season. But for Peel, they've won the league. And then they've acquired Lee Gale back, who is, I don't even need to explain Lee Gale, do I? I think the viewers will know about Lee Gale.
Yeah.
And Jason Chalmers, the big one, who sadly didn't get an appearance in the Ireland Games over the summer, but he'll be raring to go, and I think he's working his way back into...
He came off the bench against Russia and scored, so he's obviously looking all right. Big miss.
What a start from here.
Yeah, big miss for Peel. Andy Grenell is suspended, well, looks of it. He got sent off last weekend. And he's been good at the back for them, so it'll be a bit of a blow for them. But
we've not mentioned the man that's probably arguably been the top flight's best player in the last couple of seasons, though, Thomas Brown.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You know, he can hurt any side. My concern with Peel, and this is no, you know, slight on Sam Kenyuk or whoever's playing it, side, but they're perhaps not as strong defensively as they have been, especially if Crennel's not playing.
Yeah, definitely, that's a big miss for them. And be maybe a tough day for Dorsey. There'd be a lot of shots. Yeah. It'd be a great watch, though, I have to say. If you were a neutral and you wanted anywhere to go, I think get yourself down to Douglas Road.
And you can sit in the Terry Vincent stand as well.
Well, exactly. And the pasties there appeal, isn't it?
Oh, that's good. Yeah, it's good. Good half time scrap there.
Close to the and girls. A programme.
And a programme.
What more do you want?
Yeah.
Right, moving on. Let's look ahead. I think this is, you know, we talked about Peel and Corinthians there at length, as we did, but Ayr United, a bit under the radar for me this year.
Well, yeah. Also, Russia, we'll come on to them as well. They've had a good start to the season, but yeah, likewise, Ayr
have, obviously Nick Hurts left the top job in the managerial role over the summer. Phil Quayle's come up from the Combi. Curtis still playing though, isn't he, Dave?
He scored for the Combi last week, I think it was, so he's still there.
Yeah.
So, you know, not a bad player to have in the ranks if you need him.
Yes.
But, yeah, so Nick Hurt was on the bench.
Yes. For
the first team against the Old Boys on last Saturday.
Right.
But they just managed to struggle to get past Old Boys, which, you know what, that's not even like a disrespect, because Old Boys, every time they come into Division 1 or even in Division 2, they're always a tough place to play, like a team to play, aren't they? Always, especially the signing of Ryan Gartland and a couple others back for Old Boys. I think Robbie Ward's taking that team now this year. I know he's played as well. I think he's the gaffer this year. So, yeah. But that sounds a good team. Half-time, 1-1, and to get the job done, even if it's a tough game, tough day at Old Boys.
I feel like, as well, we thought Ayr might not be at it, but they haven't lost many really.
No.
And Ball has obviously come back from his sojourn to Foxdale. I'm surprised he's allowed back in Foxdale after that move, to be fair. He must be living in the shed.
Yeah.
I believe Harry Best has left, and that's a big blow for
them. Oh, yeah, that is a big loss. But I think what we've done is, I don't want to speak on behalf of you guys, but what I've done is, when Nick Hurt stepped back, for some reason I just assumed it would be a bit of a season maybe of transition changing and stuff. But as I look at this Ayr team now, not an awful lot's changed. They've still got the best players there. Andy Ball back in the sticks. I think we'd be foolish to write them off, wouldn't we?
But they take on Laxey, Dave. Laxey currently sit third in the standings, having won all three of their games. Johnny Palmer's revolution seems to be gathering a bit of pace after a couple of false starts over the last couple of seasons.
Well, also, two of those wins have come with 10 men.
Yeah,
they've had players sent off in both of the last two games, and they still managed to find a way. Last week's was a tough game at Ramsey, which, as we all know, is not an easy place to go. So, you know, massive credit to them there.
We were looking at the goals in that game, weren't we? And it looked like a good game, to be fair. Because Ramsey and Laxey, what did we describe that phrase called?
El Electrico. That was a Hattieism, I think.
Was it a Hattie one? Yeah. But that's a great result for Laxey. They've had a really good start to the season, in fairness, because every game they've won, it's been by one. Maybe, I know the Ramsey game was by two goals, but it's been close games. But look at the start of the season you have. St John's isn't an easy place to go. Mary's, I believe that was a late winner, I want to say.
Last minute penalty. Yeah.
So, Lexi, you've got the job done so far. And the problem is, I'm saying that these aren't easy games. If you actually look at Division 1 this season, is there any easy games?
Well, there might be one.
Well, yes, sadly.
Once you all come on to it.
But everything else, it's not going to be easy, is it?
No.
So I wouldn't want to be the one predicting how the two teams go down. I'm glad we didn't do that.
I think what's impressed me, actually, is Laxey seems to be keeping it quite tight at the back. And Cam Avery's playing well.
There was rumours that the two of them have been tested out in central defensive midfielder. And I was thinking, God, they're not good enough on the wall. I'm glad to say that.
Yeah, you are. You're probably the only person that is. Yeah. We are talking about Thomas.
But Cameron's been out injured, in fairness to him, so they've not had him. So when he gets back, that'll only bolster that back four, won't it? But no, it sounds like Laxey had a good start to the season. And they'll be desperate to get their hands on a trophy, I think. Have they lost two finals in a row, the Hospital Cup final to Ramsey?
No, they won it the previous season. They lost it last year, but won it the previous year.
But then, yeah, they'll be desperate to get... And they don't just want to be this team that's a Hospital Cup team.
No.
I think the league... I spoke to Cameron before the start of the season, and he said the aim is to just top four and see how we get on. But I think they'll be a part of all them Maxi boys, especially Johnny Palmer. They'll be desperate to get his hands on the title. But, and if Peel and Corinthians drop points or draw or something like that, you can feel yourself edging in.
Yeah, Glen Road won't be a good place for those other teams to go through this season.
No.
We have to mention their super sub, Matty Ogden, came off the bench and scored twice last weekend.
He's another centre-back, isn't he?
I feel like he's a defender, but I feel like I've played against him in the NFC before, and he's not looked too shabby anywhere, if I'm honest. So he's another one of them. Just Laxey have got this acquirement of good footballers that they seem to grab from everyone else.
Right, so... Result? I think this has got a Dave Norton Memorial draw all over it.
Did we predict Peel Corinthians, by the way?
I think we all sort of thought we were going for Corinthians, I think. But
yeah, I think Corinthians, for Corinthians. But the Laxey,
I'm going to stick my neck out and go for a Laxey win.
He's off the fence. For 2025, exactly. He's off the fence.
It's changed everything. New Dave. I'll go a draw. I think I'll go 2-2.
I thought 2-2.
Yeah.
I think it's got a Desmond written all over it. 2-2.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Desmond 2-2, wait till you hear Comedy Corner. There's loads of them.
You sound shocked. Yeah. Right, moving on. Next game takes place at the Niverson Stadium. But before we look at Ramsey's trip to Onken, you spoke to James O'Kelly last weekend, Dave, didn't you?
Yeah, so Onken went to St Mary's last week, came from behind and won 3-2. Last minute winner from Tom Creer, who got another goal earlier in the game. And I'd say Onken looked good. They played some good football last week. I know St Mary's were missing a couple of players, but you can only beat what's in front of you. And to do it the manner they did, they went behind after, 5 minutes to a Jack Murray goal. So, to regroup from that. And they went 2-1 up after half-time. And then St Mary's got a late equaliser, and you thought there's only going to be one winner there. But Onken regrouped and went again and got the winner. And that's massive for them. So, yeah they're looking good. James O'Kelly, understandably, really happy. And here's what he had to say. James, what finish to that game? 3-2 against St Mary's. You must be absolutely delighted with that.
Yeah, I am. They're a very, very good team. And I said that to the boys at the start of the game. I said I knew they were missing a couple, but they'll still be strong. But after what happened on Tuesday, we're losing it or drawing it in the last minute. The lads deserve that. They worked really, really hard, and they have done all pre-season, so it's a nice feeling.
Even, I know St Mary's took the lead after 5 minutes, but even in those first few minutes, you guys were well on top, playing all the football. And you've obviously drilled that into the players, like trying to get them to play football the nice way. And you must be pleased with how they sort of came back from that setback early on.
Yeah, I think probably the draw on Tuesday kind of knew we can dig in again. They did well on Tuesday, but you know, we've worked so hard in pre-season. You know, Gars, Connor Prescott, I've done a lot of work with them to try and get them playing nice football. I don't think we played well for first 30 minutes, and then probably on the 30-minute mark we started playing our football and we grew and grew into the game. I wasn't worried when we went 0 down. I knew we've got character in the team. You know, Kellen Dawson kept us in it with some great saves as well, but the running from Tom, Andy, you know, Tom O'Neill, Ethan was exceptional.
Well, yeah, all the way throughout the game, they just caused the Mary's defence a lot of problems. It was the constant running tenacity, wasn't it? And I guess, in a way, that just disrupted St Mary's rhythm all the way throughout the game. Was that part of the game plan, I take it?
It's not part of the game plan. We just, you know, we've adapted to what players you've got, and I think that's what you've got to do as a team. And, you know, we've got a lot of energy. We're a very young team, probably the youngest in the league, I would say. And we've adapted to that and played the way our strengths. And I think that's what any team does. You know, well, we've got Creer and we've got Ethan and, you know, Max and Andy with energy. You got to use it.
And then just on a stroke of half time, you get that equaliser. Sets you up nicely for the second half, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it's. So St John's did that. They scored just before half time, and you can feel the pressure come then. I think that's what happened to Mary's. We scored, adds a little bit of pressure. Your half time team talk changes completely then. If you go in 1-0, you're Mary's and winning, you know, it's a different team talk. But when it's a draw, and we've got a bit of the momentum then, it kind of suits us down to the ground. And then we set up, change a few things at half time. Well, it was things I said to do at the start, but they didn't listen. But, you know, half time they changed. We did what we said and it worked. But it's a nice feeling to get a last minute winner, isn't it?
Oh, it always is. I mean, you went 2-1 up, and then obviously St Mary's got the equaliser, and it felt that they were building that momentum towards the end of the game. And you kind of felt if there was going to be a winner, it would be them. But then you just had a couple of moments towards the end of the game where it kind of felt you were very much still in the contest. And then when that ball drops to Tom Creer, in the 94th minute or whatever it is,
yeah,
you have to know what was
going on there. Yeah, I think they scored about the 87th minute or something. I thought, oh, here we go again after Tuesday. But we remain calm, you know, that's what you got to do. They were on top, and to be fair, they were looking like the ones to do it. Callum pulled off a few great saves as well. And then, yeah, just a nice ball down. We worked hard to put it back in the middle, and then Tom just does what Tom does, doesn't he, and finishes.
Fantastic finish. You can see what it meant to the players as well with the celebrations. So how does this set you guys up now for the rest of the season? It's a big result early doors, isn't it?
Yeah, big result. I would have liked to have 2 wins under the belt so far, but we play 2 very good teams. I mean, every game is going to be tough in this division. You know, it's like there's a lot of very, very good teams. But, you know, I think it gives us that confidence now. I think we've got Ramsey next Saturday, which would be another tough game again. We just got to keep battling for every point. And, you know, if we want to get to where we want to be, we've got to beat these sort of teams.
What is the aim for the season? Have you set specific targets, or is it sort of take it as it comes?
I have, yeah. But that's going to stay in the changing rooms.
Fair enough. Yeah. James, thanks very much for your time. Congratulations on the win.
Thank you.
I'm not surprised he's jumped for that. It's a great result, that. Dave, they take on another tough game for them this weekend. They've got Ramsey at the spiritual home of Stock Car Racing. Do we feel like this, you know, they'll carry on this momentum and pick up another 3 points this weekend?
I think it'll be a close game, definitely. Yeah. Full of confidence. I know that they're missing, like, they might possibly lose the likes of Tom Crater, FC Armand sometime this season. I don't know whether he's involved, but as long as they can keep him in the side, that's massive. But even aside from him, the Asperge up front was brilliant last week. Ethan Lee was on the wing. They'll cause Ramsey a lot of problems, I would have thought. And Ramsey will be disappointed with that defeat last week, so they'll be looking to bounce back as well.
Yeah, I think Ramsey will be frustrated with that, and they'll be definitely keen to get a win under the belt. But I'm just looking at Onken's next three after Ramsey. So I think Onken, if I was the Onken gaffer, which I'm obviously not, but if I was looking at this, I'd be thinking, we've got to get something here, because we got Air, Russian, then Corinthians.
Yeah.
And that's a tough 3 months. So I think Ramsey's opportunity to try and get something on the board, and then maybe accept the fact that maybe Air and especially Corinthians might be like too tough.
That's a good point. And then, because by that point you're well into October.
Exactly. And then, yeah, who knows? And you don't want to be. What you want to do is try and get the points on the board. Moran are famously terrible at it. You want to get the points on the board as early as possible.
Yeah.
And it's all about starting. You lose three and you're in that rut then. And you don't know what the winning feeling's like. I think it's like so important to get. I'm not concerned that I'm going to be anywhere near the drop zone. But I'm just. I just think it's so important for every club to try and get as many points on the board as you can early. Because if you start back, that's the thing. Moran famously terrible at it.
Ramsey, though, I think the headline from their first three games is the goals conceded figure for me. They're usually pretty tight at the back and haven't conceded 10 goals already.
They've also got a new keeper as well.
Yeah, Mason Prince has made the move up, hasn't he, from the coast. That's where Anthony Cooper's going to be looking to try and tight up, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And they've got a good squad there, we know that. They're missing Charlie Higgins, obviously playing in the week for FC Alaman.
Jamie Corlett as well.
Yeah, big losses for them.
And Callum Hudson has been in the FC Alaman squad as well.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see whether, with FC Alaman playing a home game this weekend, whether any of them might play a little bit in the afternoon and then the evening game.
Yeah, because we think Quirky did it.
Quirky did it both of them did 2 weeks ago. He played for Corinthians in the afternoon and then FC Alaman in the evening. So
crazy things happen.
No wonder he has to wear his pet check.
So again, good side there, Ramsey. I'm probably going to hedge my bets though. I'm going to get back on the fence for this game. I'm going to say this is going to be a draw.
You are right by goals conceded, but seven of them did come at Peel, which is a thumping, isn't it? That 7-4 game.
4-7 such a Manx scoreline.
Yeah, it's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Fantastic.
Right, I think this could be another draw for me.
I might just edge Ramsey. I think they'll be frustrated after last week, and I think they'll get the job done by one goal.
That Onken result really impressed me.
That to be fair,
on a big ball pitch.
Yeah,
you know,
Mary's famously know how to play on it, didn't they?
Right, moving on. Old Boys who take on Russian at Blackberry Lane. Obviously, Old Boys back in the top flight after finishing as runners up in. I nearly said JCK Division 2. Stafford wouldn't be happy. Drummond Division 2 last season. That's just muscle for me.
It's iconic, JCK. It's one day we might look back and go, Arden and Drummond's such a historic name.
Arden and Kevin Drummond.
Yeah.
Right.
Dave, Old Boys, pointless so far though, from three games. It's very early in the day. Yeah.
They've had a tough start. They were away to St Mary's on the opening day, at home to Ramsey, and obviously away to Air last week, which is what we just mentioned. Tough start for any team, that is, but particularly if you're just coming back up to the Prem.
Tom, we've talked about Peel, we've talked about Corinthians, we've talked about Air, all having good starts this season. Russian, though, arguably, again, an under the radar team. Andy Moody, like we talked about, I think we the few podcasts we did last season, we were saying, oh, they're not firing, what's going wrong?
Yeah.
Then after Christmas, sort of, they went on a tremendous run of form, rocketed up the league, and they seem to have continued that on.
Absolutely, and I think in fairness, it wasn't until last weekend where I really thought Russian might have a chance to be up there throughout the season, because they faced Braddon, which they won, and then they played Foxdale. And I know they're two wins, but they're not. They didn't stand out to me as Russian.
They would have been favourites to win.
Exactly, I'd be shocked if they hadn't won then. But the Peel one on Saturday, that was when I was like, ooh, maybe there's a chance Russian could be in and around anyway, because...
Yeah, and it was the manner of it as well, because I believe they were 2-0 up just after half-time, Russian, and then Peel got themselves back into it. So to then regroup again and get the late winner, it does wonders for the confidence.
It's a great result, and it's probably, would you say, the biggest derby in Manx football?
The Old Firm, yeah, I think it's probably the most notorious.
Yeah.
You know, there were, by the very nature of our island, there's derbies all over the chippy, isn't there?
Yeah.
But what I would say, and this is probably a testament to having a settled team that has not been that much in and out over the summer. You look at that 11.
Yeah.
You probably would be able to write that down without knowing. The team they played, like, Kearnsy's back in goal. You know, he's a good keeper. The only thing I would say is Jamie Cadwallader was amongst the goal scorers last season. I think FC Alaman have been looking at him, and I think he might have been in the squad for the Cheadle game. Don't quote me on that. But yeah, Ron Hawley,
got the winner. Yeah.
I'd love to know how many goals he scored for Russian over the years. It must be up there, mustn't it? Russian, I feel like Russian is still a club that would keep stats.
Yeah, I feel like they are.
Yeah. So if Matty Lamb's listening, I think he's one of the Russian admins on the social media. You could dig out that stat for me. I'd be well impressed. Steve Riding, class player. Jordan Watson, Mr. Consistent. You know, Cam Dudley's a good player. Ash Blake.
It's a mix of young as well. Yeah. Scott Mason and Cameron Dudley, both youngsters.
A lot probably played two or three seasons. Yeah. Now. You know, this is not their first run around the block.
No, it certainly isn't. The way you wanted a squad, I think, is a few youngsters, but they're bedded in. Yeah. And just as you say, they've played a few seasons now. They're bedded in. Then you've got a bit older and maybe the more experienced heads as well. And if you can have like a perfect, that to me looks like a perfect mix.
And then if you look at the bench, Luca Moretta, Lachlan Denham, both youngsters coming through.
And they can come on and make an impact as well, can't they?
So. And Jamie as well, to be fair.
I love when clubs tell you what minute they came on. I absolutely love that on full-time.
We could do a whole episode on full-time admin. There are some of you out there, and you'll know who I'm talking to, who can't even be bothered, and they said something stronger, to put the score up. Poor Dave on Monday morning is tearing what's left of his hair out about this. And then there's others, as Tom says, every minute.
Yeah, and I feel like some do it on a Saturday as soon as they're done.
I'm not sure. We should get Helen do it. But absolutely. I think you can do it on the app now.
Yeah, I think they tried to make it as simply as possible, because obviously no one wants to go on a computer, pull it out, and do it after a game, especially when you've lost. And I've noticed there are some clubs. They're a bit slacker when they've got beat, which is completely understandable, because Moran Twitter is very quiet after a beat some weeks. But
that's usually because you're in the pub.
Yeah, but we're in the pub. But I love it when there's a real care of the minutes that they come on. It makes everything easier for us as well. But it's also nice for the players to look back and have a look at.
So, I'm going to ask us to put our reputational neck on the block here. Russian title contenders? Is it too early?
It's too early because of the teams they faced. I know the Peel result's massive, but I kind of want to say yes, but...
Yeah, for me, I reckon they are.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I think they'll be there. We have to remember, start last season, by their standards, they had a shocking start to the season.
Did.
And they were looking like relegation fodder.
I think they're hoping to go down.
But that doesn't surprise me.
At one point, they were looking like relegation fodder. But their form in the second half of last season was on a par with Peel and Ayr, who were the top two. So, absolutely, if they can carry that on, well, it looks like they have.
I wonder why it took so long for them to get like. I know there might not be one simple reason, but it took them a while to get going, and they've really clicked on in the second half of the season. Yeah. This starts the season, obviously. When you look at fixtures, I think Russian's fixtures are perfect. You want two games to settle yourself in, maybe one's your favourite, comfortable. Well, it doesn't sound like the Bradham one's comfortable, but you want two games where you can just get the job done and get the 3 points. Yeah. And then you want the big Peel, maybe, I think.
Because you've got,
exactly. But, you know, there's always when their fixtures come out, I think everyone in individual clubs kicks off a bit about their fixture list, like, oh, it's not great. I don't think I could pick a perfect one. There's no, because you don't want to face the top one, you don't want to face the best teams, so it's not an easy job. But
I think, just looking ahead, they have a big game against Laxey on the 20th, and then they face Onken, as we've already discussed, on the 27th. So they're two bigger games, and of course, this is all great for the Railway Cup race. You know, I think last year was good, and this year I think will be another tight, and it won't all be done and dusted, with a few weeks to go. So it's good to look ahead to. But do we all think away win this weekend?
Yeah. I think it'll be tight though. It won't be easy. It won't be a comfortable win for Russian. I think Old Boys will make it hard for them. I think that's what Old Boys are good at.
Yeah.
I hate playing Old Boys. They've
got a lot of experience in that team, haven't they?
Yeah.
And you know, they know how to play against these sub teams. So you're right. It will be tough. It'll be a tight game. But
yeah. They treat you well there, though. I say I hate playing there. The clubhouse is good. And there's some nice cheap fans there.
Past is good.
Yeah, exactly.
Penultimate game in the Canberra Life Premier League this Saturday, the Battle of the Saints. St John's United hosts St Mary's at Mullany Cloy. St John's have had an encouraging start to the season, I would say. They currently sit in, if it's my thing, reloads, ninth place. That's not very encouraging.
Yeah.
One point.
They've only played twice, in fairness to them. I know a few teams have played three times now. But the draw against Onken, I think, is a great result.
It's a last minute equaliser, I believe.
Was it?
Yeah.
So they're 2-1 down at half time. Onken, as we've just spoken about, obviously not a bad team at all. I think that's a good result to get a point there. And then Waxy, it sounds like they just missed out. I think, based on them two games, it's too early to judge St John's. I don't think they'll be anywhere near ninth coming into the season. I think they'll be all right.
St Mary's, Dave, obviously, they signed quite a few players in the summer. Got some of the band back together, Jack McVeigh, Frank Jones, etc. etc.
I believe Frank is not playing anymore.
Oh, yeah, easy to say that. I find that incredibly hard to believe.
Well, yeah, he was there in the dugout on Saturday, but according to Johnny Myers, who's obviously there now as well, it sounds like Frank has stopped, but it's the space, I guess.
Yeah, I think they will have been. I think that Laxey and Norgan defeats will both have hurt, because I think they will have been games they probably thought they were going to get something out of.
Yeah,
especially after a 5-1 win on the opening day.
Yeah, they were missing some players last week. I mean, Johnny Myers has got limited availability because he's got a young child. But the likes of Sammy Gelling and a few others were away on FCL man duty, so that obviously impacted them. A big plus for them, I think. Morgan Beckley at right back, young player. He looked really good.
Brandon, wasn't it?
Yeah, and Mark Wolfenden, the Wolf, he's back, and he looks great, isn't he? He looks like he's got himself into good shape, and he looked lively last week. So
and his back's all right.
Yeah, he seems to be okay. Yeah. So they've got a good squad there, St Mary's. So you know, I think that last week was just a bit of a blip for them. To be honest.
Just to touch on St John's, Liam Sale, 2 goals again against Onken. He used to be a combi hero. He used to play against them all the time, and now he's scoring goals for fun. I think last season he got, I don't want to say the number because I think I'll get it wrong, but it was a significant amount of goals for Liam. Really, and I've noticed James Rice, obviously he is not playing in goal this year.
So who's in goal?
I can't work out in this St John's lineup who it is, because I want to say I don't know, so no, I'm not too sure. But James Rice apparently is supposedly playing outfield this season for St John's, which is, you know what, he's not a bad field player at all.
Dean Lees, Cam Target, both got FCL and experience.
Yeah, Joe Savage, of course, is a little Rottweiler. You don't want to play against him. And Chad.
Former Maroon left back Sam Robertshire as well.
Yeah. Nothing special then, though. But Andrew Bokko, Chadwick, what a guy.
Again, I'd love to know how many games he's
played. He's
timeless. We forget he had a big chunk at Foxdale as well.
Yeah, he did. But do you not think Chaddy's timeless? He turns up and does a job for you no matter what. You can chuck him in midfield.
I would say everyone knows the McLennan.
Yeah.
And then there was, I've just forgotten his name, Old Boys sentiment, Mike Hooper, who was the closest I've seen to McLennan in the Manx game. But then I'd say Chaddy's like that, but more like Declan Rice.
Can
sort of go forward a bit when he wants to. And he's not, every now and then he's got like a 25 yard screamer in his back.
The biggest compliment I can give to Chaddy is I've seen him win like 3 headers back to back, and it was all his own headers. He's like, headed it up, won the second header, then won it again, won the third header, and I'm like, and it eventually went down injured, and I'm like, I'm not surprised, mate. And he's leapt about above everyone to do that. I was like, he's remarkable. You wouldn't want to get in a midfield battle. Chaddy's not an easy person to not play against, is he?
No one really needed a vodka cocoa.
Deserves it.
John's new man in charge this season, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's Will? Brown.
Will Brown.
Yeah, so it was Sam Brown.
Yeah.
And then now it's Will Brown, his son.
Yeah.
It's not quite nice actually, because Will's come from the combi, and I always, for some reason, like to see this when a combi
manager.
Yeah, I just think it's a lovely thing. Did Russian do it? Am I right? Same with Moody.
Moody did.
Yeah. And I just think it's so nice.
I always thought it would feel quite.
And I think you get a proper feel of everyone you've got, because sometimes I think a first team manager, might be under the illusion that that's my crop of players. You don't really look at some of the Combi lads.
Yeah.
But I think if you've come all the way through, you've dealt with the Combi, because you've got to have patience to be a Combi manager as well. Because you get them Friday night phone calls when someone's ill and they're actually on the piss. Mm-hmm. So you've got, there's patience of either losing players or having too many and leaving some out. I think I just love to see when a manager goes all the way through and becomes a first team gaffer after it. I think it's nice. So we'll see how Will gets on.
So results, lads. Predictions, even. I would say I'm going to go St Mary's in this one.
Yep, close.
I'm going to go Jonas. Going to get their first win of the season. Oof. Yeah,
that's gone for it.
Yeah,
West is best.
Yeah.
Final game of the weekend in the top flight sees Foxdale welcome Union Mills to the back of the moon, otherwise known as Billy Goat Park. Now, is it too early in the season to call this a 12-pointer?
It's, you know what, for Foxdale, it's like, it's heartbreaking when you think about what we were talking about in last season. Obviously not on a podcast, we were missing 12 months.
I feel like before, we talked about how well they did.
Yeah, we did give them credit.
I think in the episode I listened to when I was cutting the grass last week, when we talked about...
It's what you do when you cut the grass.
Yeah, I listened to a podcast. It's called self-improvement.
Yeah.
And I was listening to the Canadians episode, and we were talking. We posed the question, or I posed the question to you two: would Lee Gale sack off the travelling?
Oh yeah, and it turns out he didn't. Yeah. But they didn't need him in terms of the season.
Yeah.
He was there for final, wasn't he? When they played, they got all the way to the FA Cup final. But annoyingly for them,
it was FA Cup.
FA Cup. But annoyingly for them, Lee Gale was half injured,
yeah.
So he didn't have the most influential game. And I think it was always going to be a tough test. But I think. Stephen Betridge might have told me, or Barton might have told me, that that's the first time Foxdale ever made it to an FA Cup final ever. And also, I think they were 1 point or one goal away from getting their highest ever top flight finish ever. So I think it was like heartbreakingly close. They didn't quite get it. But either way, what a season for Foxdale.
Oh, fantastic.
And then almost a few months later, we're talking about how...
If we're looking at it quite literally, not in black and white because it's a colour screen, but it's Foxdale... bottom of the 13-team Candlelight Premier League, played 3, lost 3, 4-3 goals against 21, minus 18 goal difference, and no points.
I think the biggest one for Foxdale is, I think during the summer, I think they had an idea about Gaylor possibly moving back to Peel, and I think they had a very good idea that Jason would go back to Peel. I think the Kayla's baller, and I think, if I'm right in saying, a few lads came down to they were leaving Colby to possibly consider Foxdale during the summer, and one of them was a goalkeeper. Mm. And because Andy Ball was there, they didn't sign on. And I think they went somewhere else. And then now, almost two weeks later, Baller moves on.
Baller is quite often used as an excuse in my household as well, because my wife goes, "Why are you so fat?" And I said, "It's Andy Ball because he introduced biscuits to the football podcast." And in the same way, if Foxdale get relegated, it'd be Andy Ball's fault.
Yeah, we could just put Andy Ball
in anything.
If I spend my time tomorrow morning, Andy Ball's
fault.
Yeah, I like it. But no, the fact that he's moved on, I think I really do feel for Foxdale this season. They've obviously got no Stephen Bettridge as well. He's out injured as well. I just can't see where they're going to get the points. But in fairness, though, one credit I will give them, I know they got an absolute stuffing by Corinthians, which a lot of teams will get this season.
Mm.
But it sounds like Jamie Lord in goal, who's obviously had to step up from the Combi. He wasn't playing football all that long ago, and he's now trying to save shots against Sean
Boyle. It is.
And apparently he did quite well in Dean's.
Dean said he had a good game. And
exactly.
And if it wasn't for him, it would have been a lot worse.
Exactly. So I fear for Foxdale. I'm just hoping there is a core group there at Foxdale that are proper community, you know, that they've got up there. And I'm hoping that they'll all stick together, and which they will. But I'm just hoping that they can attract someone, maybe push on it.
Yeah,
by all accounts, it looks like it'll be a horrible season for
them. The other positive for them was that Jay Chatwood was back on the bench last week for them.
Yeah, that would be a real killer if he left.
Yeah, but hopefully if they can get him on the pitch, he can score goals.
Exactly.
Didn't they end up playing a centre back though?
I'm not sure, did he? But, well,
yeah, I think it was in the report he came on at centre back. So, but also he'd only flown home from holiday that morning.
I did see that. That is commitment. And that maybe Andy Ball could take a leaf out of his book.
I can understand.
Do you know what? I feel if his flight had been delayed or cancelled, that would have been Andy Ball's fault as well. Andy Ball, who doesn't even work at air traffic control, would have definitely had some sort of bearing.
Someone's got to be blamed up there. Damn cheap rates.
If you doubt, blame Ball.
I like it.
Union Mills, on the other hand, have only played one game so far, just the quirk of the fixtures. They were on the receiving end of Corinthians' wrath as well, a 6-1 defeat on the 30th a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I think Alex Higgerty, the versatile midfielder, defender, whatever, he'll turn up and play, who works with us, said they were a bit light on bodies in the first couple of weeks of the season. Yeah. So could this be Foxdale's chance?
Yeah.
Alex himself is missing this weekend. So
is he not available?
No, I believe he's... he's got some staycation with his missus. So.
Big positive for Mills, and that shouldn't be allowed during the season as well. Sorry, I'll jump on this.
Do you know what I heard? Andy Ball arranged it.
Andy Ball's arranging staycations now, I like it. Good. But no, I think that during the season, there's questions got to be asked there about Alex's commitment, because if one of the boys I was playing alongside a train on Thursday, so, and he asked, you playing this weekend? I said, yeah. Are you?
Hasn't that happened? I'm pretty sure that's happened in rounds.
Yeah, probably Matthew Cain or Andy Ball.
My heart wants a Foxdale win, but my head says a Union Mills one. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, probably. It sounds like from that Corinthians game, it was quite close for about an hour, 2-1 to Corinthians. And then a couple of tactical changes. And I think probably fatigue came into play. And then Corinthians just ran away with it late on. But Mills, by the sounds of it, were competitive for a little while. So I think they'll just have the edge in this one.
Right. Now, to the best division in Europe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, this year. Slightly slimmed down this year, Tom. So should we start with that?
Yeah, that's obviously a topic we've got to discuss, because looking at full time in front of me now, there's 10 teams.
You think you should be needed
It feels like the FA have not updated it. I'm already blaming Lewis.
Yeah. it's only Ball's fault.
But that's frustrating. It's not frustrating. I understand it, because there's clubs that, during the summer, we know that Michael, James and Dafka all are only fielding one side.
They flirted briefly with the first
team. Well, Michael and Jims, were they the ones that we were looking to possibly...
And Dafka, I think.
We were all hoping. Which would have been really nice to see, but I think everyone has their opinions on this. I think it's like a very controversial topic of whether or not Combi should be allowed. But the thing I will say on my viewpoint is, there's been a lot of success stories in the past that the FA have allowed Braddon to do it, and they've allowed...
Pulley
have done it before, where they've just had a Combi. My only quorum is not sure you should not journalist stuff. My only issue is that I'm not sure you should be able to do it year on year on year. That's my only thing. Dafka, I think, I know it's frustrating time for Dafka. If they could, they would. They're light on bodies. I think that Dafka Combi team, despite they might say that they're older lads, I think they're playing at a better level in Combi 2 than they are.
Yeah,
and I think that's an argument that they should make. Possibly
they're a better level.
They're a better level than the league they're in. Yeah, and I think that's got to be looked at, because it's the third or fourth season now.
Yeah.
So,
so all that meant is that there's now 10 teams in the second tier.
Yeah, which is
and a couple of your back page piece a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. They're going to play each other three times,
which is I can't believe that it's been Tony Meppen's idea. Like, as if that man doesn't need like more sleep and rest and less worries about crowning fixtures. He's decided, you know what, we'll play everyone three times. And that, it'd be really interesting to see how this is going to work, I think, because when we get to that last eight, we might be playing till TT. That's how it feels.
Now, me and you both said when it was mooted, we thought, it won't be too much hassle. Mm. He'll just split it in two leagues of five.
Yeah.
The top five will play for, obviously, promotion and the splendid Paul Henry Gold Cup.
Yeah.
And then there'll be an opportunity for a secondary competition for the bottom five.
Which I think would be fantastic.
We'd even stick in a tenner, and they could call it the Manx Football Card Shield or whatever.
We've literally just got a tenner.
But do you know what I mean? And it would have given... I thought it would have been a really competitive way to end the season.
Yeah.
You'd give everyone a seat. Plus, you wouldn't have a load of fixtures to rearrange. You'd only have an extra four.
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing I have to say, though, is clearly the club's backed Tony's plan because they're the ones who voted for it. And that's one thing I have to give credit to the FA for. One of the things I have to give credit to the FA for is the fact that the club's, the league management committee, is full of the secretaries and the coaches and people have got where... I would hate to do that job, by the way, going to every meeting. But they're the ones who made the decision, and clearly the clubs were in favour of playing three times. So, it'd be interesting to see how this all works out. And I keep forgetting, if I'm honest. Like, once you've played, we played in the Combi away from home. Once I've played there, it feels weird that I'm going to have to get back there.
You won't, though.
But we will.
No, the Combi won't. Combi's just the same because it's.
I'm just assuming I'm first team here. And yeah, that makes a very good point. Yeah. I won't. The first team will. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Who knows? By the end of the season, you might get in there. But you mentioned before that managers that have a squad of here and then they don't really look over there. That was coming from personal experience, wasn't it?
Sadly, yes. Dave Brugelis.
Right, let's look ahead to this weekend's fixtures, though, and we'll start with Dave Brugelis' Merry Men of Moraine, and they take on Paul Rose. In an early, I'd say, marker, we'll see who's going to go up this season, I would suggest.
Yeah, absolutely. Moraine have only obviously played once, but the first team, but we've got a massive win against St George's, which has been a little constant running battle with Geordie's about going down, you know, in Div 1. So it was nice to play in Div 2. And then Geordie's no doubt had a very different lineup, but Moraine this season have a very, very different lineup. I think we've actually attracted some players, which is always nice. But Dave Reynolds from Laxey is one of the signings. He was captain inside against Geordie's. Michael Hughes wasn't playing, but he's a good signing. He formerly Geordie's, I believe, right. So he couldn't play against his former club. But he's an attacker that I think a lot of people will know. Yep. Really good addition. And then Harrison Watts has come in. Harry Horbury's back. And do you remember that famous save at Peel?
Yeah. God. Former podcast guest.
Exactly, yeah. I think, did I come on with Harry? Yeah.
He did, yeah. You were his minded. We had to get him through you, to be honest.
Yeah, that's how it works. So, Moraine made some good additions and another tough test against Paul Rose, but...
They've made some additions, haven't they?
They are. All back. Owen Cadman playing Div 2 football, he's banging them in already.
Yeah,
great sign for them. Yeah, really good squad. So they've won both of their games so far this season.
Yeah, just looking at that, that's quite a few of these were playing for St Mary's not that long ago. Nay Horsall, Joe Canepa, Owen Canepa, Russell Dawson, Barry English is back after a spell at Auction.
What legend.
Michael Glennon is back after a spell at Govs. Who else? James McGinn is back after a spell. At St Mary's.
He's probably your Mary still dies, I'm just not sure which
one. South Douglas still dies. Aaron Lawrence is back, you know, they're all back.
Yeah. You'd never have thought when we were talking about last season that Pulley would be a title contender, but then this is the way it goes.
The only thing with Pulley, as with every season with Pulley, and this is a historic thing for as long as I've been covering Max football, is if they want it.
Yeah.
They have the talent there. Yeah. It's whether they can keep getting those teams out in the midst of the winter when it's horrible and you've got
and to the climate's open.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they beat D&D on the opening day 5-0.
Derby.
Derby.
Just cross the road. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I mean, you possibly could have had them as favourites for that, but second game to beat Douglas Royal 3-2 at Val Fletcher, that's a big result
because Royals we've all been talking about being up there this season as well. So
so this weekend though, calling the winner Dave.
Go on, be nice to me Dave.
I'll go for a Desmond 2-2.
You're going for a 2-0?
Yeah.
I think there's more goals in this than that.
5-1.
Although I think Moraine's defence aren't set. They've only played one game.
Yeah.
They're not settled enough yet. So I think they'll be
Ayres is not back yet. We could do a James Ayres being back in. So
I reckon a score draw as well.
I think Dave Reynolds will keep Owen Canepa quiet. This is going to. I can hear this clip coming back to bite me when James would be in season.
Just
next.
Let me know how to time down.
I think Reynolds will keep Canepa quiet and Moraine will win 3-1.
3-1, I'm writing that down, Dave. You see that?
Yeah.
3-1
on his book. Yeah. I'm only going to get a stick for training for that tonight, I reckon.
Right, elsewhere in Division 2 this weekend, Douglas Royal take on Colby. Now, this game has probably taken on... I'm not saying it wasn't significant, because Colby have had a good start to the season, but we believe, due to our well-placed source within the Colby ranks, that Colby have signed 2 Royal players this week.
Mm-hmm.
The one... Who were they, Dave? Do you remember?
I do not know.
Carl Hickey and Stu Collister.
So is that back from them, if you know what I mean?
Carl went... So Royal and then back, I think definitely Carl. Yeah, probably both of them actually. So yeah, they now Royal have had a very strange start to the season. Were well, you know, great squad.
Yeah,
looked well placed to be among the title contenders. Started with an absolutely shellacking of St George's 7-0, which underlined that fact.
Yeah,
then slightly off the road with a 3-2 loss at Pulley. But then last week, Castdown 10-1. Now, this is no disrespect for Castdown, but where the chuff did that come
from? Exactly. No one saw that.
Royal, I'm looking at that lineup, you know, that's not a too bad Royal lineup. You know, Bailey Ashton's playing, Steve Collister, who he's
Sammy Beasley's going to get a load of goals season. I think he's already scored
Josh
a couple.
Josh Harrison, yeah. Carl Hickey, Chris Parker, you know, the a good team.
I don't know what's gone wrong with Royals there. But then maybe we're disrespecting the fact that Castan could have just been brilliant. I mean,
well, Castan at top.
Yeah, now it's Crawley scoring three. I feel like we talk about Castan, we talk about him scoring it all.
Yeah.
I have to say, I don't know an awful lot. Some names in the Castan ranks. They'll be an interesting package this year, Castan.
Yeah. But you played in pre-season.
We did play them pre-season. I think they didn't blow me away. They beat Morales, which anyone can do. but they didn't blow me away. Like, I would never, ever predicted that result. And even at 4-0 at half-time, I don't think I would have predicted that result to go 10-1 in that way. So it's, that's a real shock of a row. So they'll be desperate to bite back.
Yes, but whether they will, Colby, now they're currently sitting in second, undefeated, two wins and a draw from their first three games. The only concern for me, Dave, for Colby, now, Adam was very pessimistic pre-season.
He always is.
He is, to be fair. They kept a clean sheet last time out against Douglas and District, but they have conceded three goals in their previous two games, as it were. So, keeping it tight against Royal. Now, I generally don't know, because Carl Hickey and Steve Collister, if they have left, that's a big chunk of it.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a tasty game.
I wonder. I don't even want to predict this one.
Carl, no,
I
do you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's gone for it. Yeah. So you and Colby win?
Yeah, I do.
Is that at Station Fields?
No, it's at Royal.
Whoa.
So you've even got that organist. We might walk in the wrong shape.
Yeah. Nothing worse than that, by the way. I'll go Royal as well. I think they'll dust themselves off and get a result.
They've got to, haven't they?
They've got to. Yeah, they can't lose.
There must have been a long chat in the changing rooms after that one.
They go to the Camp Nou tail after the games. I wonder if they avoided it that day.
Yeah, probably. Right, Governors Athletic take on Maloo up at. They've returned home, in inverted commas, this season, Dave. They were at Bemahague on Saturday, 2 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah, and their spiritual home. It's obviously.
But it's not the home. It's not the pitch.
So the first pitch was no, but it's not.
It's not the Astro they're playing on, apparently.
I'm pretty sure
it's a feet the field.
That's class. That's a good pitch.
Yeah, exactly.
It's better than the cage.
I'm fairly sure it's not the Astro anymore and they're playing on the field.
Sydney's high school just says on full time.
I don't know where I saw it.
Oh, it's a high school?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah.
No, I spoke to Brian Sweeney, is it? The former. The current manager, not former manager, Billy Sweeney, pre-season, and he said they were going to, it was Bemahague, so maybe they've been moved on again.
Yeah, who knows, but Governors this season's a tough one to call as well, because, gosh, I wouldn't want to predict this, either.
When's the last time you had a senior men's football match played at St. Ian's?
That, I think this could be a first.
Yeah.
We need to ask Eric Opter.
Yeah, we'll
find
out.
We've got an hour to spare. right, so they're playing Maloo. Now, Maloo. Now, let's have a quick look at Maloo's form. Currently in fourth, one win from one game. You can't really knock that, can you?
No.
They beat Youthy, that's a good result, and 2-1 to reverse their Airport Cup defeat pre-season. So, they've also been quite active in the transfer market in the summer, Dave, haven't they?
Yeah, Maloo have.
Yeah, I spoke to Drew pre-season and he was pretty confident going into the new campaign. They have been busy, as you say. Lots of new signings. Got to give an honourable mention to Jay Gandy.
Yes, legend.
Legend of the man. Yeah. Paul Whipley's there. They've got Paddy Cooper. They've got a good squad.
Adam Payne. Dean Kinley played.
Yeah.
So rumours of his retirement were
great. There's talk of him there.
Cooper's a good player. Obviously, he had a spell at St Mary's. Brandon Kreitner, another good goal scorer. So I fear that they'll be probably the winners on Saturday if you're a Govs fan. But bizarrely, isn't there some sort of rivalry between these
two? I swear there is. Yeah, but what colour kits the Governors wear? Red and white.
Yeah, and
red and black from Maloo. I wonder if that's a kit clash. Do you wear different kits?
Is it just the host team always have to wear?
Is it just because like? Gulf's played at Station Fields for a little while and it's just naturally any team that plays there.
I think there was a historic movement of players between the two, and I think when Gulf set up maybe they took a few Maloo players with them.
Maybe. 2014 Governor set up. We'll have to have Sam Turner, he'll be more aware of that. He was involved near the start, wasn't
he?
Yeah,
he played for Combi Legend.
Thankfully, Tom's not that desperate for Governors anymore.
Well, the fact he can only see out one eye probably
doesn't help, does it?
Yeah, Governors, you never know. They're a mixed bag. Some days they will be, as other days they're not. I think Maloo will personally take the points in this one, but it's great to see a football at a new venue.
I'm delighted.
We've nailed down where they played that. Actually, that's our homework for this week.
I want to give credit to Maloo as well. They've got two teams out. Yeah. There was loads of talk all summer that they were going to struggle, and I just think any club that can get that can scrape together two teams, especially in the current situation that a lot of clubs are in, I just think fair play. You've got two teams out, see how you get on.
And they've already won one in the combi.
They have against James. That's another. The fact that James has got a combi as well, I'm impressed. You know, just it's not going to be an easy season for them. But yeah, the fact that these clubs keep churning out an 11, that's huge for me.
Paul Whitley actually scored two goals that day for the combi. It was a strong combi.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Poor Jim's combi rocking off.
Adam Pate, Jay Candy.
Is that just my low first team?
For another club's try that.
No, not any of that this season.
Right, the last game in Division 2 this weekend sees Douglas and District take on Castellano. D&D. God bless them. Currently bottom of the league.
We know for a fact as well that Dave Matheson's going to be listening. He's had to listen through all of this just to get to his section.
We should just give him a timestamp at the start. So it's 3-3 for D&D and 3 defeats, unfortunately. 4-0, a 5-0 and a 5-0. Yes, no goals. 14 goals against. Now, come on, lads. Can they do it against Castellano?
It's a big ask.
Castletown have just come on the back of scoring 10 and D&D have scored 0 and conceded.
So if you look at it purely in that, you say it's probably
in my heart bad. I'm thinking there's going to be a random late winner from a D&D.
Dave himself will sub, you know,
over a kick last minute.
But no, if we're being real, I generally fear for the scoreline in this one. If Castletown can go and beat Royals 10-1, what's stopping that team going and put a few more passes? We've had an 18-1 this season, haven't we, already?
That was D&D's combi.
I'd really like to hope that that's the final, like that we don't get any more scorelines like that, and I fear that they might come. So, but not, I'm not suggesting that this is going to be one of them. I'm hoping it's going to be
what I would say though, if you look at those three games, quite like last time they were 0-0 against Colby, and at half time they were only 2-0 down against Castellano, 3-0. It could suggest that maybe they need to get Dave Bruin to do a bit of running with
them. Maybe the fitness element's the issue there, but I don't know.
They'll improve, won't they?
They will. D&D, we talk about this at the start of every season, I feel like, and then they end up picking up a few
later on there. Yeah, I'm sure they will.
And I'm sure they'll have great social nights with their top trumps anyway.
Regardless. Yeah, I saw they had their first pub golf of the season.
Oh, did they? Yeah. You know what? What a club D&D are, really.
Legends.
God, Dave Matheson's got to take a lot of credit for that.
So am I reading that right, though? D&D played Castletown literally 2 weeks ago. So this is a repeat already.
Hang on. Have we got the fixtures on there? That's probably more likely.
This is more likely that we've messed up, really.
I don't know.
Because the FA
fixtures. Hang on. 13th to the 9th, Douglas and District versus Castellano at Groves Road.
Yeah. Right. At a quarter to full time.
Right. Yeah. Let's go back to results. Bear with us. Listeners,
is it our fault or the FA's fault? Or is it?
No, it's a quirk of the.
Hang on. That was at home as well.
Yeah. So are we seeing the? Because
we've not had 13, is this because of the...
This is the third game.
Oh, wow.
Well, okay.
What? I'm still confused by this, by the way. This is.
But this is the second time at Groves Road as well.
In 2 weeks, So, I'm going to predict 5-0 to Castletown.
5-0 to Castletown, you're going to hear. It'll be 2-0 at half time as well.
I very much look forward to Dave Matheson's Groundhog Day themed social graphic.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, in the same vein as Groundhog Day, I think the result's going to be similar.
Yeah, sadly to say.
Alright, Dave, Sunday is the start of the women's season.
It is. I believe Paul Hatton is flying back in from Liverpool just for this, especially.
Doesn't surprise me. No, he's off to watch Everton play on Saturday, isn't he?
Yeah.
And then he will be back for the 3 Kendalife Women's League games on Saturday. Some new clubs back, guys, or some teams back, some and such like. Yeah, you pad while I get out of the league.
I wouldn't like to predict which game Hat is going to. I don't think he's announced it on the socials yet, but if I had to guess, I'd say Russian versus Ogden.
Yeah.
He's been posting quite a lot of old Russian photos on Facebook this week, so I reckon he'll be there.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, like with every new season, it's difficult to predict these things early doors. I just a mention though to the Alabama women's team. They had a good summer at the Island Games, didn't they? Came home with a medal. Fantastic stuff for them.
Yeah.
So obviously, any of those players that were involved in that, they'll be confident going into the new season for their respective clubs.
Yes. So there are 7 teams in the Women's League this year.
Mills back?
Yeah.
Mills back.
When was the last time, like, I don't know when the last time these guys had women's teams, but it's good to see.
Yeah, Russian back, Peel, Onken, Maloo, Royal and Corinthians. Now, Royal had a spotty last campaign, if I remember correctly.
It was a transitional season.
Yeah. So they're all back. So I think, yeah, this is, it's great. It's, you know, it's obviously off the back of the women's game, professional game is growing in popularity, and it's good to see. And I think all of that hard work, we took another praise for the FA and the clubs in particular, they've done a lot of hard work for the junior setup. This is now bearing fruition. You just checked, is he doing?
He hasn't announced it yet, which game he's doing. Dean up from Footy has also touted that he might possibly cover a women's game as well, so check their socials as well.
I'm guessing a lot will depend on the weather.
On the weather,
not
yes.
To do,
doesn't look too good.
Don't
it?
Spoil Dave
oh,
reads the weather.
Sorry,
Tom, you've just volunteered to read it.
But yeah, Russian take on Onken, Union Mills take on Douglas Royal, and Maloo take on Peel. Or scheduled take, I should say, scheduled. We say so there is a big caveat around the weather this weekend. They're all 2 o'clock kickoff. So if you're at a loose end, go and watch some women's football. As Dave said, the women's national team have produced some great performances in recent years. They won the Cherry Godfrey Cup the year, last year.
Last year, yeah.
They were impressed at the Island Games this year. And this is where they have their bread and butter, isn't it? So, yeah, try and get out and about. Right, Comedy Corner, Dave. A firm favourite.
It's what we've been waiting for.
For 12 months.
And I think there's been a lot of people who've come up to me in Sam Street in town and stuff and said, Tom, where the hell is it?
Yeah, but I think when Jez Dooley's been condemning the podcast on socials, I think he's been talking about the standard, the quality of Comedy Corner has gone downhill. So.
That's absolute lie.
Yeah, it's true. So much like in Gans Life Premier League, Corinthians and Russian are the top two in Comedy 1. Corinthians made it 3 wins from 3 last weekend by beating an understrength Foxdale 9-0 at Billy Hill Park, led by Ben Ramsey hat-trick. But we have to say fair play to Foxdale for getting the team out. We've already touched on it. They are struggling for player numbers this year, this season, so well done to them. Russian dropped their first points of the campaign. They played out at Desmond 2-2 in the Old Firm match with Peel at Douglas Road.
Right.
Spaniards are level on points with St Mary's, who drew 3-0 with Onken at the Nivison Stadium. While there was yet more draws at Victoria Road, where Braddon played out another Desmond 2-2 with Union Mills, and at Laxey, Glen Road, where Laxey drew 2-2 with Ramsey. Hence the Desmond 2-2 theme for Comedy Corner.
Yeah.
And there are more to come. The other game in Comedy 1 saw all boys edge past Ayr United 2-1 for their first win of the season. A good result for them. In Arden and Drugan combination 2, Pulley, Castletown and Youthy all boast 100% records after making it 3 wins out of 3 last Saturday. Pulley were 3-1 winners at Michael. Youthy received a walkover against Maloo, who couldn't field the side, unfortunately.
Fingers crossed they get more out.
Yeah. While Castletown edged past Douglas Royal by the odd goal in 7 at Bal Fletcher. There was also a goal fest in Crosby. Moran came out on the right side of a 5-4 scoreline at the playing fields against St George's. Called Tom, take it away.
I don't know what to say. We made hard work of it, but it was really good to see Geordie have a comedy as well, I must add, because they've not had one for quite a while,
yeah,
I would say.
Yeah,
so it's good to see. And but no, Moran, we made hard work of it, but we got there in the end. And there's talk of it being Mikey Calston's final ever game of football ever.
Why?
He was like, you know it's bad when certain players are catching up with you that quickly. Yeah. He was saying like he looked a bit slow and, you know. So fingers crossed we can convince him. But if it is, that's an end of an era for a legend of Manx football, I'd say. Or maybe that's too kind.
I'd say Dafka.
Dafka legend, yeah. Maybe, that's fair. Maybe not the whole Canada West Premier League, maybe not. But, yeah. But no, good win.
Yeah, that's good. Continuing the honours even Desmond 2-2 theme from Comedy 1. Douglas and District played out a 2-2 draw with Colby. Well, that score was repeated between Governors and Jims. So it really was a week for 2-2s, wasn't it?
It just, yeah, scores galore in the combination leagues, as always.
Mm-hmm.
Right, the most important bit of the podcast. People tune in for Douglas and District, and people tune in for Dave Reads the Weather.
Well, unfortunately, as you guys have already alluded to, it's not looking good on the weather front this week. Saturday is going to bring scattered showers, but there will be some sunny intervals, but it will be also a bit windy. All I can say is good luck to the women's and masters players on Sunday. There'll be rain, which will clear to isolated showers later on, but the main talking point will be the strong Tegel Force winds, so hold on to your hat, Hattie. Good luck.
Can we insert that video now?
I tell you what, I don't know if we've got the money to pay for the run. Finally, I just want to say, Dave, you know, obviously you've got your script there. I was hoping that we'd have kept. You accidentally printed out an A3 before, didn't you? And I was hoping that you'd have that in front of you.
No, I'm going to sign that and sell it on eBay.
See Dave squirm when he doesn't know anything about it.
That would be fantastic. Right, it's been good to be back, lads.
Oh, I've missed it, you know. Can we just touch on the trailer, Andy? I thought it was a brilliant trailer. It got me excited, like I was a viewer. And then I was like, oh, part of it, I was like, fuck, it was brilliant. I thought it was really good. And it's been received well, hasn't it?
Yeah. That's the only reason Jerry McGinn signed on as sponsor.
So. Yeah, well remembered, Dave. We should thank Jerry McGinn, Pike Painters and Decorators, for their support again this season. The teaser for the podcast is still available on social media if you want to have a quick look at that. Thanks to my friend ChatGPT for some of the help with that. Right, player to look forward to this weekend, if not the weather, including former Moran Laxey and St George's goalkeeper Sean Jackson representing England at the European Amputee Football Federation's Nations League.
It's mouthful.
It is, and I managed to do that first take.
That's brilliant.
Which is unbelievable.
The start
of the show was an absolute car crash. So he's playing Turkey, Poland and Italy this weekend, and he actually plays in defence.
Not in goal, yeah.
So we'll hopefully we'll be back in a couple of weeks' time where we'll hopefully catch up with Sean and another former goalkeeper in the Islands, St John's Isaac Allen, who signed with Premier League Sunderland.
What a move for him that is. I worked out, by the way, that he's 4 injuries away from starting in the Premier League.
Wow.
So I'm not sure how it works, but I hope that keeps
going. They're going to have to have a horrific goalkeeper crisis.
Yeah.
Do you not think they can't even bring anyone alone? No.
I generally think, and yeah.
So if this is mysteriously 4 goalkeepers go down in the Premier League, we don't need to blame them. It's Andy Ball's fault, yeah. Right, well, we'll hopefully hear from Isaac in the next podcast. As I say, please don't be hounding us next week. It will be in a couple of weeks' time. Tom is having 2 weeks off.
Relaxing, slapping back, yeah. I've just been working too hard, dude.
Really?
Yeah.
So until we're next on.
Ta-ta for now.